Well, for those that were not here last week, we did a weekend which we call revitalization. And what that is a weekend where we kind of took a look at our church and we looked at where are some of our strengths, where are some of the growth areas, where can we do better? And so I want to just follow up on that here this morning. But before I do that, I'm wondering, anybody here in the church, okay, you're going to have to confess, okay? Anybody here in the church ever watched the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark? Yeah. Actually, I was going to fire a picture up here. I didn't do it, but I was going to fire a picture up here that shows me at the place there where they actually filmed the second part, which was the temple, whatever it was called. But one thing about Raiders of the Lost Ark, which I found really interesting, is there's one place in the movie where what happens is that Indy, he is walking into the temple and he's stepping on different stones. Remember the part? And he has to be very careful because if he steps on the wrong stones, darts come flying out of the wall and they take him out. It's not a good thing. I don't like darts. Anybody here like darts flying at you? It's not a good thing. It's not a fun thing. But what we have to do, and if you can fire this up here, my slide up here, that would be great. What we have to do is we have to be careful when we are moving ahead in the Lord that we are taking the right steps, that we are walking in the right ways, and we are doing things in a way that honors the Lord. So I want to talk to you about what we talked about last week, where we talked about revitalization, and I want to talk to you about taking the right steps to move forward. Let's pray. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us as we take time to look at this information today, as we take time to look at your word. Would you speak to us? Would you help us to know where to go, how to get there so that you would be glorified. I pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Taking the right step. So first of all, when we do that, we got to start by looking at our location, at our starting point. Where are we right now? And I love what it says in the Bible. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. In other words, it's got to start, when we look at where we're at, it's got to start with a real look at ourselves as individuals. Where am I at? What am I doing? Where we have an honest opinion of ourselves. Let me ask you, and I've said this many times, how are you doing? How are you personally doing with your relationship with God? How are you doing with your relationship to those that are close to you? How are you doing with those that do not know Jesus yet? And we could say, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing great. I'm doing a lot better than so-and-so down the road. That other person on the other side of the church, man, you know what? Do you know where they're at with their walk with the Lord? I mean, I am at a way higher caliber than they are at. Can I just say, if you just stick with me for just a second, can I just say, who cares about the person on the other side of the road? Okay, I mean, we care about them, but who cares where they're at? We got to look at ourselves because, see, here's the thing. God does not grade us on a bell curve, right? You understand what I'm saying? He doesn't look at someone else and says, well, you're better than that person, so you're doing pretty good. Well, you're not as good as this guy, so, well, you gotta tighten yourself up a little bit. God's saying, no. Listen, I want to see where you are at personally with your relationship with God. Is it something that honors him, or are we in a place that we should not be at? It says here in this verse, he should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself. Now, that's not looking at myself and saying, yeah, look at me, I'm pretty good. But what it means is when we examine our actions, are they actions that honor Jesus? That we can say, you know what, Lord, thank you because I know where I'm at in relationship with you. Then he can take pride without comparing himself to someone else, for each one should carry his own load. See, God does not require to carry your neighbor's load. God does not require you to be that in that same situation that your neighbor is in. And sometimes we look at our neighbor or other people and say, man, if I only had it as easy as they have it. You know, you ever been there? Man, they got it together. They got all the coin. I mean, they've got the toys. They've got the perfect little family. You know, I often wonder if that person that we're comparing ourselves to is not possibly comparing themselves to us and looking at us and saying, man, if only I could be like that other, like you. See, God is not asking us to carry somebody else's load. And let me tell you, it's really easy to compare and say, man, if only we could be like the first assembly of WOW down the street. You know what I'm saying? If only I could be like that cool pastor, you know, over at First Assembly of WOW. Like the guy just looks good. He's got the skinny jeans. He's got the look. He's got the coffee on top of his little table. And I thought, you know, if I could look like him, it would look something like this. That's actually Andy Stanley, if you know. Well, God doesn't call us to look like Andy Stanley. He doesn't call us to be someone else. He calls us to be our own person. Let's get away from there. Back to Galatians chapter 6. Each one should carry their own burden. It's interesting because, you know, Pastor Phil last week, he was talking about a church that said, man, we got it together. Because see, here's the thing, we've got lots of cars in our parking lot. Did you see all the cars in our parking lot? He says, this church said, man, we've got lots of people in the seats, and look at how nice our building is, this pastor said to Pastor Phil. And he says, you know, and we're in the black in our finances. We're doing pretty good. My friend who's sitting in the back here this morning mentioned something to me. Thanks for that, Vic. He said, you know, I know a place. He said, where there is lots of cars in the parking lot. He says, where there's lots of people in the seats. He says, I know a place where the building looks great. And boy, are they ever in the black. He says, that's called the casino. And I thought, you know what? You're right. God's not called us to be a casino. God has called us to be a church, a body of believers that honor him. And that's what we really want to do. We want to honor him. So what we did last weekend is we had an evaluation of our church, and different people responded, and thank you so much. And what happened is we broke it down to three strengths and three growth areas that you as a congregation that filled out the reports actually came up with. And I want to thank you for that. So I'm going to run through this really quickly, and we're going to talk more about the growth areas in the days to come and how we can implement it. A strength for us, you said, was God-exalted worship. You like to worship, and you know what? Quite honestly, 63% said you like to worship. Our leader said 59% said, yeah, the worship is good. You got to, and especially when my wife is up here. I mean, like, seriously, it takes it to, no, I'm sorry for all the other worship leaders. But worship is important, and I'm thankful for that. It is a strength according to by the way, I gave you a piece of paper, so you can put this stuff in there if you would like to. Secondly, you said God-empowering presence. You said you like the fact of 57% of you said you like the fact that the presence of God is in the services. 45% of the leaders said, hey, like, we really appreciate the fact that we feel the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in the ministries and in our daily lives. So that's a good thing. Another strength was a commitment to loving and caring relationships. You love the fact that we care. Well, I hope so. And if we don't, please come talk to me. So the congregation, there was 42% that said that they liked that, and the leaders were 62%. So we do have some good strengths, right? Amen? You're with me? You're still following me? Excellent. Then there's the needs improvement. We all have them, maybe some of us more than others. Certainly I do. And you said, here are some areas that we need improvement in. And by the way, we're going to be walking through this in the next little while, certainly with our leadership. You said, we need improvement in servant leadership development. In other words, so congregation 49%, you can see the statistics there. So in other words, we need to have some guidance in how we can do better as far as volunteer leadership, as far as training, as far as equipping us to do the work that God wants us to do. So we'll take this very seriously. I just want you to be aware. This is important to me, and we will see what we can do to help out in this area. You said we need help, or there's a weakness in spiritual discipline. The congregation said that this is a real need. 43% of those that filled it out said we need help in knowing how to read the Bible, how to pray effectively, how to deal with other spiritual disciplines. And so this is certainly something that we're gonna talk about in the days to come. Then you said that the second part was it was a tie, and that was a networking with other churches, with other body. You remember years ago, we used to do Good Friday services. You remember that? By the way, just so you know, we've been talking about this. I'm part of what is called the Surrey Pastors Network and went on the leadership there. And we've been trying to get this going. And we're having some challenges trying to get some of the other churches on board. But this is important. 43% says, yeah, we need to do this. 48% of the leadership said we need to do this. Another weakness is learning and growing in community. So how can we get to know each other better is what basically this thing is saying. And how can we connect with people within the church on an ongoing basis, learning and growing in this community? The leader said another weakness that we got to work on is stewardship and generosity. How can we see this area of the church be strengthened? So you've seen some of this stuff. I thank you for your information. We're going to be working through this very carefully. The board is going to be looking at how we can implement this. Certainly as a pastor, I want to make sure that we are walking through this and we're addressing those needs. But can I just say something as we walk forward in this? These are super important. But if I can really emphasize something that Pastor Phil said last week, and that is, folks, we really, really need to be looking at not just here, what we do on a Sunday, but how do we network with people around us? How do we network with our community? And that, I guess that's really what is our destination. Where do we want to go as a church? Let me ask you this question. Why does a church exist? Why does a church exist? What do you think? To spread the gospel. To commune with godly people. Beacon of hope. Strengthen each other. Somebody said pray. Jojo. Thank you, Jojo. That's right. I and all of these things are, I think, things we need to look at. I think a few things that we need to really examine as why we exist. We got to be glorifying God. It's got to be about God. If we're not about glorifying God here on a Sunday, I think there's a problem. You know what I'm saying? Then I'm wondering why we're here. Secondly, we need to encourage. I put saints in quotation marks. That's all of you. Saints is just a fancy word for people that love Jesus. To encourage one another and to evangelize the world. Evangelism basically means to tell the message of Jesus, to take the message of Jesus to people around us in the community. Somebody said the church exists to be upward focused to God, inward focused to each other, outward focused to the church, to the people around us. I love what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. He says, and you know this verse, and it's so important that we understand this. Everything about this book has been broken down to these two areas, actually three areas of importance, and that is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love people around us, and to love ourselves in the way that honors God. It's about love, isn't it? If we could boil it down to one word, we exist to love. right? We exist to love. And you know, the question is, who did Jesus come for? He came for us. He came for the broken. I love Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Come on, read it with me. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Who did he come for? Who did he come for? The lost. The lost. Now, what does that mean? It means people that don't know Jesus. Yeah, of course, it's for all of us. But he came to reach out to those that do not know him. And if there's anything I want to encourage us, folks, when last week when Pastor Phil was talking about the churches on decline, the 74% churches, 74% that are in decline, they've lost this focus that it's about reaching out to those that do not know Jesus as of yet. I love what Phil says. He says, we are trying to design ministry for the people we are trying to reach, not the people we are trying to keep. Really? Well, you know, we want to bless the saints, but if it's just about us, folks, we got a problem, don't we? If it's just about us, we've got a problem, because it takes away from this very important scripture, and that is Jesus said, I have come to reach out to those that don't know me yet. You know, if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 talks about different leaders within the church and why God put them there and so forth, or who he put there. But the responsibility is interesting. He says the responsibility is to equip God's people, that's you, to do his work. See, here's the thing. It's not my work. And you don't equip me to do the work. We equip you to do the work. That's what it's about, right? We are equipping you to go out and do the work of telling people about Jesus. Our responsibility is very simple. Our responsibility is to take the love of Jesus to the world around us. It all boils down to what we call the Great Commission. And it's this: go and make. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go out and do the work that God has called you to do. So how are we going to do that? Well, that comes to my third point, and that's our direction. When we met with Phil, he showed us a picture of this. That's a barrel, just in case you didn't know, right? That's what that is. You know, and in the church, the barrel often looks a lot like this. And what it is that there are areas in the staves that are shorter. And so, for example, there are different ministries within the church. We've got the children's ministry. We've got the music ministry. We've got the women's ministry. We've got youth, and we got all these different areas. And so one area is a little short, so we're going to put focus on that area. We're not doing so good in evangelism. So let's go out and let's do a big crusade. Let's get people out, and we're going out. So we build up the one stave, and then all of a sudden another stave gets smaller, and we go, okay, we got to work on the children. So let's build on the we'll put the evangelism away for a second. Let's focus on the children. And we do these programs, and it's exhausting. Now, Matt, now let's think about your life at home, okay? Okay, guys, work with me here. Ladies, you can think of something else. Go play a game on your phone or something like that. So here's what happens. You come home and your wife, she says, honey, you're never spending time with me. So what do? Well, you spend time. You plan a date night or you do something to make sure, okay, we've taken care of that. And all of a sudden you find out their kids are going through some challenges. So we got to go over to the kids and spend some time with the kids. And then finances, honey, we're having a hard time with finances, so you take a second job. But because you're taking a second job, you can't spend time with your wife, so now you're spending time with your wife, but you got to do your second job, and there's the kids over there, so you're running over there to do the kids, but the job has to be taken care of, and the wife wants a new boat, so you go out and buy a boat because she loves fishing. Hallelujah. And so you go out, and you try to work harder to get that boat, and it gets exhausting. It's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not. It's supposed to be very, very different, folks. We need to be living our lives in such a way that the things that are important predominant in our lives. I love what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. He says, the one thing I do, can you imagine if we just had one thing that we really focus on? He says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal. So Paul is saying this. He says, listen, everything is important, but it's got to be balanced through this one thing. And that is through my relationship with Jesus and how I respond to my relationship to Jesus and how I encourage others to respond as well. I think, folks, that if we live our lives, our church, even our day-to-day time with our family, with a focus on Christ. Lord, how do you want me to respond to my family? How do you want me to respond to my work, to my children? And we focus on that, things begin to become clear. Don't they? God really does want to bring clarity in our lives. Again, what does it boil down to? It boils down to loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It becomes down to love. Last week, or during the weekend, Pastor Phil talked about what he called wives. Not developing our church or our relationship according to the barrel methods, where we're trying to fix all the different staves and make them stronger here so water doesn't pour out there. But he talked about running our church according to this model. And you know, truthfully, is I like the wife much better than a barrel, right? She looks better than the barrel, you know. Anyway, that's a side point. Wife, what does that mean? It's an acronym, obviously. It means the church needs to be focused on worship, on instruction, on fellowship, on evangelism, and on service. And I like what Phil said. Okay, which of these are we going to do in heaven? Worship, are we going to do that in heaven? Yeah. Instruction, well, it says that we're going to be working with the angels in heaven, so there'll be some instruction involved there. Fellowship, will we be fellowshipping in heaven? Yeah. Evangelism, will we be doing evangelism in heaven? No, we won't. Service, are we going to be doing some work in heaven someday? Yeah. Okay, wait a minute. All of those except evangelism are the ones that we are going to be doing in heaven for eternity. In other words, we got a limited time to do number four, right? We got a limited time to actually take the message of Jesus to the world around us. And folks, they need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear about his love. They need to hear about how he cares. So here's the problem that we face with. Yeah, Wes, you said this to us so many times, but how do we do it? Wes, I don't understand. I don't even know how to start. Can I give you some suggestions? You good with this? Some suggestions? Here's some suggestions on how to start. How about starting to get to know your neighbor's name? That's a good start. Get to know who your neighbor is. So this week, I had a day off. Michelle was working. I went across to my neighbors. We were chatting. And as we got chatting, I found out some things about them. One of my neighbors, he has to go through an operation. He has to get a tumor removed. And his girlfriend emailed me and said, hey, please remember my boyfriend, because he's got to have this tumor and they found multiple tumors. So I said to her, listen, I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray for Gary because I'm concerned about him. Right? Get to know their names. Get to know their situations. Invite them over for tea or that black stuff that you guys drink. Get them to know them over sort of a more fun time. Be aware of the challenges and the stuff that they face. Maybe get to know when their birthdays are. Like, it really is about relationships, isn't it? Right? It really is all about relationships. And see, here's the thing, folks. Our world is dying for relationships. They want relationships so bad. This week I did some research. The Vancouver Foundation did a survey of the Vancouver areas. And here's the question, one of the questions they asked. They asked them this question: how often do you feel lonely? It's an interesting question. How often do you feel lonely? So this is what they found. They found that at least 14% of all greater Vancouver area people are lonely. Most of the time, or at least a good part of the time. And interesting, if you go through the statistics, ages 25 to 34, 23% of those people surveyed said, I'm lonely most of the time. I found that interesting. Household incomes, 20,000 to under 40,000, 23%. Those that are unemployed, 26%. Yeah, I feel lonely. Look at this statistic. Ages 18 to 24. I found that very interesting. 30% of them say they feel lonely most of the time. Household income that are under 20,000, 38% say they feel lonely. Folks, they want relationships. They want you and me simply to take interest and be concerned about them, to take time with them, to sit with them, to have a cup of coffee, to hear about their day. And in the midst of it, maybe, just maybe, we would have an opportunity to say, you know what, I'm praying for you. And do it, by the way. Or maybe to say, you know, I know of a place that you can get some help with that situation you're facing. Or you find out they're low on groceries. We've got a pantry here that you're going to bring food to anyways this week, right? Right? And maybe we can help them with that. But it's the connecting point. It's interesting, in this statistic, they said, what is something that would interest you, or what would you like to do with your neighbors? And they found some, they found that of those that were polled, well, that's small, most people, 49%, said they'd love to attend a neighborhood social gathering. If we can do something as a neighbor, almost half of them said, I'm there. Okay, attend a community event or festival. 36% said, man, I'd love to do that. Participate in a neighborhood or community project. 30% says, yeah, man, I'd love to go and spend some time and maybe clean up our streets as a community. By the way, oh, this is going to get me into trouble. I love Halloween. That's it, I'm done now. You know why I love Halloween? Because the neighbors are out on the street. And you know, I think it was Phil that did this, but somebody that did this, I thought was marvelous idea. Instead of having the kids come to the door, they actually put a table out on the street. So when the kids came, guess what? There's always parents with the kids, right? Unless they're 26 years old and they shouldn't be trick-or-treating anyways, right? But they put a table right there on the street so they could talk with the neighbors. We need to engage in community events and so forth. So attend a community or neighbor or community meeting, 29%. Social gathering at a local park or green space, 28%. I love doing our, in the spring, remember in the spring when we did our Sunday school picnic? Well, whatever you call it, church picnic, right? Like I love that. We should be encouraging our neighbors to be part of things like that. Volunteer in the neighborhood. There's always something you can do. Invite them to my home. 24% said, I would love to invite our neighbors to our home. And you know what? They probably would love to come. Attend a neighborhood block watch or earthquake preparedness group, 19%. So there's people in our community that are saying, man, I want to engage. You know what I found interesting with this whole survey that was done? It says 74% of people in their neighborhood, they want to be there. They like it there. Most of them love being in this neighborhood. And 53%, listen, 53% said they want to get to know you better. More than half of them said, man, I really would love to get to know my neighbors. And here's what they found. They said, people are often just waiting to be asked or invited to take part in something. They have the skills, they have the assets and desire. They just aren't sure what to do. They want to be asked. They want to be encouraged. They want to be brought into your world. Can I encourage you? Can I encourage you? Would you be willing to reach out to those around you? See, that, folks, is step one of a good evangelistic, if you want to call it that, endeavor of reaching out to your neighbor, of caring. And then down the road, there could be other things you can do to help them. So this is what we want to do. This is our desire. Our decision, this should be number four, it says number three here. Our decision as a board, as a leadership team, we're going to be going through what Phil has given us as a prescription, how we can be stronger in our community. But here's what I want, I really want us to understand this morning. Folks, I want us as a church to be more purpose-driven, not preference-driven. Let me explain what I mean by that. A preference-driven church is like this. You come to the church and you say, as long as it caters to the way I think, I'm good with that. I want my church to have this kind of music. I want my church to have this kind of leadership. I want my church to have this kind. And it's a preference thing. And preferences is good. I mean, we look at preferences. But the main thing is what is our purpose? Why are we here? That's our purpose. It boils down to why are we here? And it's really, really, really simple. It's so simple, we often forget how simple it is. It's simply to go and to make. Matthew chapter 28. To go into your neighborhood, to make friends, to make relationships, and to make ultimately disciples, and to show them the wonderful love of Jesus. Why are we here, folks? I want us to understand that why we are here is really boils down to one simple word. And I use the Greek word for this because it's so rich. It's almost impossible for me to truly get the full meaning of what love is, except when you look at the Greek. The Greek word agape means to have an unconditional, a deep, deep love and concern for those around us. You know why you're here? You know why you're here? Because I'm hoping because you love God. I really hope that's the main thing. Why are you on this planet? I hope you're on this planet for the purpose of saying, God, help me in my love to you to show a true love for those around us. I believe we are to experience and express Jesus' unconditional love to a hurting world. That, folks, is what I want to boil it all down into as a church, that we are here for the purpose of showing the love of Jesus to a hurting world around us. And everything we do, what we do as a church, and what we do in different ministries, what we do on a Sunday morning, what we do when we go out onto the street, it's all got to be about how can we express Jesus' unconditional love to those that are around us. How can we run our children's ministry in a way that it will show God's love to those around us? And how can we live our life, our day-to-day life, in a way that honors God and shows love to those around us? There is a lot of work that has to be done as we move forward as a church, a lot of work. And you may be here this morning, and I know it's a little bit of a different message, but you may be here this morning, and you may be going, you know what, Wes, it's good that you talk about relationships. It's good that you talk about this evangelism thing to reach out to others. But you know, quite honestly, Wes, I don't really know if I have that relationship with God myself. I don't really know if I really understand who God is. And I want us to end this morning by bowing our heads at this point in time. I'm going to ask the worship team to join me up here. And I want you to look at your life. If you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, you know what, Wes, I really don't have a relationship with God. How am I supposed to show that kind of relationship to others? I really want that here this morning. I really want that relationship with God. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. I don't want to do anything bizarre. I just want to pray for you and ask God to meet you where you're at and help you to have that relationship with Him. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, I really want, there's something that's it kind of spoke to me this morning, and I really want that relationship. If I can just get you to put your hand up real quick, nobody's looking around, and I just want to pray for you And then maybe later on, I'll give you some information, some materials if you're interested. But if you, thank you, thank you. You can put down your hands. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Folks, let's pray together. And for those that put down your hand, put up their hands this morning, I want to bless you for your for your boldness to do so. And if you can pray this prayer after me, again, there's nothing spectacular about the prayer. It's about the attitude, your desire. But if you can pray this after me, dear Jesus, I thank you that you came to this planet so that I could have a relationship with you and with your Father. But Lord, you see my life. You see that I am not in a place I should be. Please forgive me for all the things I've done that has harmed my relationship with you. I invite you into my life. I ask you to help me to live in a way that honors you and to have that relationship with you and with your Father. Thank you for forgiving me my sins. Help me to live in the way that pleases you, I pray in Jesus' name. And Father, for those that prayed this prayer this morning, God, I pray that you would just surround them with your strength, with your joy, with your peace, with your boldness. Father, surround them with more of you and help them to remain strong, to remain focused, to move forward in you, to develop a deep relationship with you and relationship with others around them. Father, help us all to look at our lives and to love greater, love deeper, love in a more awesome way so that you would be glorified and that others around us would be encouraged. Help us to take the message of hope, the message of Jesus, to our neighbors, to our schools, to our workplaces, to wherever we go, and to look for those opportunities to engage people in conversation, maybe just even in a small way, but Father, in a way that we can show love to them. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.